Alex Anthopoulos, the general manager of the Toronto Blue Jays, joins us on Baseball Central. Alex, thanks so much for doing this.
Glad to be on, guys.
Alex, you've been the GM now for 5 years. Is this finally the team you envisioned putting together?
Yeah, I think so. It's definitely started to get there. And look, you definitely I've learned some things along the way. There's no doubt about it. And I think you learn something every year. But I did feel like I had mentioned at the end of last year I was excited. I think it's the first time I've ever said it in an offseason. I was excited for the offseason. Just felt like we were finally starting to unearth some things and maybe some philosophies that we had and been studying. We were finally starting to cement those things and really have some belief in them. And also we knew that there was potential for a lot of turnover with some expiring contracts. I mean, we made those moves for the 2013 year. And, you know, the following year, we didn't really make any moves. We basically stayed status quo. And the only change was from Navarro to Aaron Sebia, and the salaries were going to be the same. But we were excited about the offseason because we had a chance to really tweak some things and change some things. And it's a more athletic team. Defense is a lot better. Look, we still need to make upgrades in the rotation and the bullpen. That goes without saying. But I think it's finally starting to come together in terms of, you know, what we did envision as an organization, the type of team we want to put together on the field. And even long-term, we're pretty excited about it as well.
Alex, give us an example. When you talk about the philosophy and how you know, maybe you've settled on a philosophy in some areas or we're starting to see the philosophy manifest itself, give us an example. I mean, without state secrets, but give us an example of what that would be.
Yeah, that's, you know, I'm trying to think of how I can do this without, and again, I don't want it to come across like there's an arrogance to this, like we have all the answers, and if we feel strongly about things philosophically, it's right, and what other teams are doing are wrong. I just think there's things that work for us, and I think the big thing, I'd say more as a general manager, I feel I've evolved a little bit, and as you should. I think anybody in any job should evolve, and you should make adjustments and get better. But I guess what I would say is I was much more focused on talent and talent alone. And I'm not alluding to just character and makeup and things like that. But, you know, there's times and there's opportunities you get caught up in the value of players or their contracts. And when guys are available, you know, they might be available for not much in terms of talent acquisition, not much in terms of cost and salaries and things like that. And you may cut some corners. And, you know, I'm a big Warren Buffett fan, and he's, you know, one of his things he'll say is, it's better to buy a wonderful company at a fair price than a fair company at a wonderful price. I think that's probably the big switch for me. You know, there's a lot of the times there's guys that just, wow, this is a really good deal. This is, you know, this guy's worth a lot more, whether it's in trade or contract and so on. And you may cut some corners and ultimately we're just maybe being a little more selective with who we do bring in. And if that means paying a premium, because someone does fit, the list or things that the criteria that we have, it's more important. And, you know, also being able to walk away for some players and really stick into philosophy about, you know, I know I've heard things like the New England Patriots in the draft have a short board and there's just certain players that fit for them and they're not going to deviate from that. And the ability to not deviate from that, you can get very emotional, you can be influenced, but the ability to stick to your philosophy and not bend as much as you have needs and things like that, I think I'm starting to learn it's the right way to go.
In conversation with Alex Anthopoulos, general manager of the Toronto Blue Jays. Alex, one of the talking points out of yesterday, of course, one of the good talking points, Roberto Osuna, a four-out save. That's his second of the season. John Gibbons said yesterday that he has an idea about where he wants to go with the bullpen. And Alex, I've got to ask you, how long can you realistically go with the 20-year-old as your closer? And I'll ask you this, kind of as a corollary to that. What has to happen for Aaron Sanchez to not move into the closer's role at some point this season?
Well, one, I think Gibby's done a great job with the bullpen, especially because, and this is on me, obviously, I haven't necessarily handed him clear-cut choices for the ninth, the eighth, the seventh, and so on. And you know, ultimately, I would have loved to have been able to done that, whether it was sign some free agents or do some things, but it just didn't work out that way. But you know, to his credit, he doesn't complain, at least not to the media or, you know, behind my back. He'll do it to my face. But he deals with it. You know, he deals with it and whatever. At the end of the day, You know, you hand him the players. He does the lineup. We may talk about it, but at the end of the day, he decides who plays and whatnot. You know, he's evaluated on how he'll run the game, how he manages the team, how he manages players internally, playing time. And if I have a player ever come up to me and ask me about playing time, I'll tell him, you're asking the wrong guy. Mm-hmm. And you know, that isn't my area. So, but look, in terms of Osuna doing the job and his age, I really think it's irrelevant at this point. I mean, if he's able to get the job done, I mean, you look at, I'm not comparing Osuna to K-Rod when he was a kid coming up for the Angels, but he came up and he did a great job, and he was 20. And I don't think it matters how old Osuna is. He's got poise. He throws strikes. He's got great stuff. He's got an out-pitch changeup, and the slider's getting a lot better as well. And he's got guts. We call it something else, but I'm going to stick with guts on this show. So, you know, it's one of those things that, and with respect to Aaron, like if we have some of the starters that are getting an opportunity continue to do well and emerge. If a guy like Matt Boyd really takes the opportunity and does run with it, if a guy like Norris does get a chance to come back here soon and really does emerge as well, and it doesn't look like there's a spot for Aaron in the rotation, sure, we know we can put him in the bullpen and he can do a great job. What that role would be, obviously the manager would make that decision. But as we sit here today, Aaron will be stretched out as a starter. That'll be the plan. And look, I hope we're in a position that we don't have room for him, and because the rotation is doing so well, or we've gone out and acquired some guys and we have that much depth. We're not there yet, but that'd be a great problem to have.
Alex, what was your takeaway from Matt Boyd's debut?
You know, I'd seen him his last start in Syracuse, and his changeup was better than what I'd seen in that last start. I thought he threw some really good changeups to Adrian Beltre. His game is based a lot on deception. I mean, he's got the high front glove side like Estrada does, and kind of tilts his back and kind of hides the ball in the back with his arm action as well, kind of comes down around his hip. So even though the ball's a little straight, he does have that deception where they don't see it well, and he's also got some power. We saw him up to 95 most times in the minor leagues. He sat 90, 92 and would touch a 4. So I thought the slider's getting a lot better. The curveball can use some work. It's more of a early in the count pitch for me, a get me over, and I think he tried to put Chirinos away with it, and he hit a home run, and I think that's a pitch maybe he'd go back and change it. And I give Diona Navarro a lot of credit, too. He hadn't caught him before, had no idea what he was going to get. And, you know, the owner, to me, is a tremendous game caller. And I thought he did a great job with him. But, you know, to go that deep in the game, throw strikes, he always does. It's not command where he's hitting the glove, but he's throwing it in the box. And with the deception and the velocity, and I think he's got a chance to do really well for us.
You know, Alex, I'm glad you mentioned Diona Navarro, because Kevin and I have been talking about this an awful lot. Anytime anybody talks about a trade, people always say, well, the Jays have Diona Navarro, they could possibly move. And, Alex, I've felt, gosh, in spring training, that he's more valuable to you than anything you're going to get in return for him. And maybe I'm overstating it, but there's really a value to having that bat and Diona Navarro in this lineup, isn't there?
No doubt. And you know, I know this doesn't get talked about a lot, but you look at that position, it's not exactly like what you're seeing what's going on in the NFL the last few years with where the tandem tailbacks. But you are trying to keep those guys fresh. And you know, and not too many guys are Salvador Perez that catch 140 games a year. And even a guy like Russ, he'd do it if you wanted him to, but we want him at peak value and strength and his production on the field. And having a guy that, you know that position, you're not going to play every day. So even though people don't put as much stock in that position, having a guy back there that obviously can be an everyday guy if somebody was to get hurt, switch hit, contact bat, outstanding game caller. I know, you know, Diona's not necessarily known as a tremendous, framing ability or throwing, but you ask a lot of guys and they take the game calling over the being off the charts guy who can frame and so on. And I think Diona's gotten a lot better as well, but he's very intelligent. He's got a great feel for calling a game. And I think, you know, you see the way Estrada's done the last few games. You see what Burley did last year with the owner behind the plate. His game calling is outstanding. And I don't know that there's any stat out there to quantify it. But, you know, being around him and talking to the guys as well, they love throwing to him.
This is Baseball Central with Jeff Blair and Kevin Barker, joined by Alex Anthopoulos, general manager of the Toronto Blue Jays. Alex, how active is the trade market right now? And is it still likely going to be easier to land a starter than a reliever, or might you be able to actually land both of those commodities?
Oh, I'd love to land both. That said, I guess I just to characterize the trade market right now, I guess the best way is I think it was in a deep freeze, and I'd say it's starting to thaw a little bit, and which is exciting. I mean, definitely, I'd say in the last 5 days or so, all of a sudden a lot more conversations with teams, a lot more teams saying, look, we're probably a week away from making some decisions on what we're going to do. It definitely has started to move here, and I think it's going to continue to accelerate, especially in the coming week. But you see a lot more teams now realizing just before the All-Star break, they're going to start really engaging, and it's starting. You know, what we come away with or don't come away with, I have no idea. Clearly, we're looking to be active. We're looking to add and make the club a lot better. But it is definitely starting to move, and talks are starting across the league.
Alex, can we expect to see Marcus Stroman back in September? And just give us your thoughts on how his rehab's going.
One, his rehab's going very well. I think if you ask Marcus, he would say yes, and he'd probably tell you earlier than that. I've asked our training staff the same thing. And they've said, look, we wouldn't rule it out, but ultimately we would expect it to be longer than that. Not that he can't, you know, you see guys like Giovanni Gallardo came back, I think, in 4 months. You know, this is a long-term piece for us. It's a long-term asset. We have to make sure that we keep that in mind, and that's ultimately that's going to base any decision that we make. But he's doing well. He's getting better. And I guess I'd put it this way. We'll be open-minded if things develop and he does come sooner than expected. But if there's any scenario that we feel we're putting him at risk, no matter how much he wants to pitch or how good he feels, it's not even going to be an option for us. But he's not on – in terms of from my mind, he's not a guy that I'm counting on, expecting. It would just be a nice surprise and found money. But just based on what we had out of spring training, in my mind, he's done for the year. And if something changes, we'll deal with it. But I don't think we'll even have a sense of that till the end of July or mid-August at the earliest to see where he's at that point.
Hey, Alex, when did the American League East get tough again? And when a division is as close as this one is right now, does it almost do you almost feel as if we're now in a stage where there's going to be a competition between you, Brian Cashman, Dan Duquette, and to make their teams better?
I mean, I guess I know there was a lot of talk about the American League East being down this year, and it wasn't a very good division, and I think everyone just jumped the gun because we all got off to slow starts, and you know, collectively, and that rarely ever does occur. But we are the only division in baseball with four teams over 500 right now, and we were one of the few divisions with all five teams went into the season expecting to make the playoffs. You didn't have teams coming out saying, look, we're going to try to be competitive, or we're going to take some steps back, we're going to go young. All five teams said our goal is to ultimately make the playoffs and win the World Series. So from that standpoint, I do think it's the best division in baseball right now. We don't have that one team like a St. Louis or Kansas City that's, you know, 20 or 25 games over 500 at this point. But I think part of that is because all five of us are competitive, four over 500. We do beat up on each other, and we're also playing the other teams in the AL as well. So, you know, competitiveness with other GMs, things like that, I just think everyone's going to be trying to do the same thing, make their clubs better, and it's so close. And you know, it's tough because I know we all follow the box scores, and I'm sure they're doing the same thing. Everyone seems to continue to win, so hopefully we can rattle off another 5 or 8-game win streak and try to start to make some hay and start to pull away a little bit.
Alex, do you look at the Josh Donaldson deal as maybe the best deal you've made? Because I mean, I sure do. I think what is it, 13 or 12 of his home runs have either tied the game or given you the lead. You know, we talked about this earlier in the show, and we were talking about the bullpen yesterday. I don't know how you define clutch. I really don't. I used to, but I don't anymore. But he sure strikes me as being clutch.
No, he's been outstanding. And I know a lot. I think anytime you're trading for an established player and you're trading prospects, people will always lean or gravitate towards the known. And look, Josh has been a great player the last few years. And the players that we traded away are, we think, ultimately, obviously Brett's somewhat established, but he's still young, and he's in Oakland. He's on the West Coast. You don't get to see those guys as much, but you know, obviously Brett's a very good player. He's having a good year, and it's not obviously that ballpark's not the same as ours. A guy like Graveman, since he's been back, obviously we always follow our former players. He's been outstanding, and he's again, and all these guys have 6 years of control. They don't make a whole lot of money. We think Barreto's got a chance to be a star, and he's a 19-year-old kid in high A ball, and Sean Nolan's got a chance to be a mid-rotation starter, if not a four at least. So, look, we gave up four players that we like that have a lot of control. Obviously, Josh is already in salary arbitration. His salary is going to continue to climb, and like I told him, I hope he ends up continuing to climb because that means more production on the field. So, but he's been outstanding for us. Him and Batista, they rise to the occasion late in the game. They want to be there. They want to get that opportunity. But, you know, I do think with all these trades, I think we always want to try to be fair and give that value back. I think the same thing when we did the Travis deal with Detroit. I think Ghost has done a great job for them. Travis has done a great job for us. I mean, you want them to be win-wins because teams will want to continue to trade with you.
At some point, do you have to sit down and talk to Josh about a multi-year deal?
I don't think so. I think from Josh's standpoint, I mean, look, we've already got him here for a long time. And you look at guys that are free agents. Melky Cabrera was a free agent. He signed a 3-year free agent deal. And Nelson Cruz was a free agent. He signed a 4-year deal. I mean, we got Josh Donaldson with 4 years of club control. So at the end of the season, we still have him for 3 years, which free agents signed for that. So we've got him for quite a long time. Look, from his standpoint, from a financial security, he's making a little over $4 million. Clearly, he's going to get a raise off of that. So he's already going to be in a position that, you know, again, I mean, at least for what I spend, he's set for life. Maybe for some others, they have a little more expensive way of life. But I think the big thing is 3 years is a long time, 4 years is a long time. We obviously have a cap of five. We will always be open to it, but there's no sense of urgency because we still have them for a very long time.